Church, it's good to see you tonight, and thankful that you're here with us. I know that there's a lot going on in our church family, sickness and death, and just different things like that, and maybe not so joyous to talk about on this side of eternity. But I was talking to a friend yesterday. If we could see what God's reality is versus what our reality is, like what we see in front of us, versus what the reality is in heaven. And being set free is a real thing, Brother Nate, like you were saying, that's a real thing. And if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And that's an eternity of freedom. It's hard for us to, it's hard for us in our minds to understand things. And I used Paul as a reference yesterday when we were talking. And, you know, the Lord didn't give him liberty just to say everything, just to write everything down. And I told my friend, I said, I don't know that we could fully comprehend it in this body anyway, that we could really take it in, what heaven actually looks like. We read about it, and we sing about it, and get glimpses about it, but the best we can do, we're looking through a glass darkly, and can't really just see the whole picture. But, you know, I think really, too, anticipation is part of the fun, you know. I've seen it written like this before, too. Some people say, I enjoy the Friday night before being off on Saturday more than being off on Saturday, you know. Just the anticipation of something good is a wonderful thing. And Jesus Christ gave that to every believer. We've got something to look forward to.
You hear everybody that heard it today, I can't wait for Friday.
Right. Forever and ever and ever. There's no Mondays in heaven because there's no time. I can say that definitively because there's no time, you know. It's hard when you have everybody together and you just want to stay in that moment forever. Well, that's what heaven is. You know, you're in that moment forever with everyone. And I tell you, I'm thankful for my Savior tonight. I mean, you look at things and realize and know you're not worthy of any kind of goodness or anything, and the half has yet been told. Again, Paul wasn't allowed to say everything and tell us everything, but I could only imagine what it was like for him to see what he saw and be able to go through that. But there is much to be in prayer for tonight. The Shue family, be in prayer for them. Got to spend a little time with them today, and considering, you know, the family look good, but considering, you know, and best they could tell, Brother Jack just went to sleep. And that's what they were talking about while we were sitting there. Just imagine going to sleep and waking up in heaven. And that's the reality of it. And, you know, the Bible even teaches us that Jesus took the sting out of death. That's even more, just even that much more, because he knows what that's like. I mean, we're talking about a Savior. We're talking about a God that knows what things are like. It's not hypothetical to him. It's not that he has to wonder, but yeah, let's be in prayer for that family. Let's also be in prayer for Sister Evelyn and Sister Tanya and that family. Got to spend a little time with them last night, and you know, I don't know. I'm not the timekeeper, but we'll, you know, the Lord knows. But they need prayer there as well, and just keep them in your thoughts and prayers. So, if you'd like to, let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Chapter number 6. We'll kind of finish out a block, I guess, kind of finish out a block of, if you want to call it, instruction as far as our church constitution. The last two things here. This part here is probably not really exciting, but it's in the Bible for a reason. And it doesn't surprise me that it's in Corinthians. There's a lot of doctrine in Corinthians, a lot of correction there. And, you know, some of it was because the church was doing things wrong, and it was a carnal church. They were doing things wrong, but I think some of it, too, was they wanted correction. You know, I guess for me, if I didn't grow up in church and one day the gospel was presented to me, and then I accepted the Lord and was saved and then had a desire to want to do right, somebody'd have to tell me what that is if you haven't heard it. And what is right? What is right? What is wrong? And not just having a black and white tablet law relationship with the Lord, but a loving relationship that you can have. And And we do things right, or we do things in obedience because we want to have that relationship with the Lord. But not just, we should always fear Him and have a reverent fear for Him. But I think our love for Him should be top priority also, and that we do things because it's pleasing to Him and we love Him. This first topic here, it's talking about lawsuits between believers. And we'll start there tonight, but I think it'd be good to go ahead and start with prayer. And then we'll get into these two topics tonight, and then we'll have our time of prayer. Father, we just come to You today, Lord, just knowing that we need You in every single way, Lord. Just everything throughout the day, the near misses and driving and just all the things that could happen to us, God. But, Lord, You take care of us and You protect us, and I just thank You so much for that. And, Lord, I pray that You be with each heart here tonight. Help us, Lord, to take Your word, take it in, and meditate on it. Help us to grow from it. Help us to avoid bad things and hard circumstances when we can. And, Lord, when bad or hard things do happen, we have a remedy for it, a way to do things right thereafter, God. I just thank You for that. And, Lord, we pray for these precious families in our church, Lord. We pray for the Shue family. Lord, just thankful for the testimony of Brother Jack. And I can only imagine what it would be like to fall asleep and wake up in heaven. And Lord, that's only because of Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross. And we thank You for that. Lord, we pray for Sister Evelyn tonight also. Sister Tanya, we have them on our hearts, Lord. Lord, we know that we're not going to live forever. But God, You made a way that we could be together forever in eternity. And I just thank You for that, Lord. Just help us, help these families. Lord, please bring comfort and help to them. Help us tonight as we study. Guide me, Lord. Guide my mind and my mouth and my heart and everything that's said and done. And Lord, forgive me where I've sinned and failed and not been what I should be, God. Lord, I love You and thank You for what You do for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. It is good to see everybody tonight. Good to see Dad tonight. Thankful that he's back with us also. And just good to see everybody. I'm thankful that you're here. I know it's been a busy week. I was talking to Brother James there a while ago, or texting a little while ago, and it's just been a busy week for a lot of different reasons. School starting back up, CFC starting back up. We've been preparing for that, and just a lot to be in prayer for, but I'm thankful that the Lord has given us a mission field to work with and work through, and we want to be faithful in doing that. So, but we'll start with this here again. I think we just really have two more. Lawsuits between believers and then giving. I guess it's kind of two different contrasting things here. So we'll not spend too crazy much time on the lawsuits portion. But what it says here, we believe that Christians are prohibited from bringing civil lawsuits against other Christians or the church to resolve personal disputes. We believe the church possesses all the resources necessary to resolve personal disputes between members. We do believe, however, that a Christian may seek compensation for injuries from another Christian's insurance company as long as the claim is pursued without malice or slander. You know, there are times that things are going to happen in life that you just absolutely cannot control. You know, this isn't just to say that you're just supposed to just let people walk all over you or something like that. That's not what the Bible is teaching, but it's teaching us that we are supposed to have a relationship so with one another that you don't bring in the world, the worldly courts. That's what we'll see in Corinthians for that. But before I go much further, I want to stop and say something here, something I haven't really thought so much about in personally, not knowing personal situations, but in this man I've been listening to him preach. He's a wonderful preacher, but he found himself in a situation one time where another church leader was molesting him. And it's one of the things that churches have found themselves in situations this way. And I want you to know that that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about civil matters. If somebody has broken the law needs to get involved. It's that plain. It's that simple. It's not the church's responsibility to try to hide things and to take the side. A lot of times what happens is they take the side of the offender and kind of leave the victim out, hang the victim out to dry, and that is not what the Bible teaches. When the law is broken, it has to be dealt with. The Lord deals with the law and the lawful things, and then that's just how it is. There's things that are not supposed to be hidden. And you hear, I've heard all kinds of stories recently, not around here, but far off or off, that things like that are taking place, and people in the church trying to back the wrongdoer and not take care of the victim. And that's wrong. I mean, there's just no way to make that right. You got to take care of people. So that's not what this is talking about. I'll go ahead and read the verses that's saying here again, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 1 through 8. And what it's talking about here, it's talking about the problem of litigation in heathen courts. It's talking about why in the world would the church, members of the church, take their situation before an earthly court. You think about, it's hard for us to see, again, our reality, it's hard for us to see what that's like and thinking about what the millennial reign is going to be like, but that's what these verses are going to be leading into. It says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Saying, why would you go to an earthly court when you are saints? That's not talking about being self-righteous, because it goes on in to say here, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? And that's the one thing that I really highlighted here, is the smallest matters. I know that things happen and they can be really big, you know, not to make light of things. And you can be passionate about it. You can be hurt about it. But a lot of things that happen civilly can be a small matter when you look in light of eternity. And the brothers and sisters, you know, stepping out against each other. You think about millennial reign. Jesus Christ comes down to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Well, who is he bringing with him? Us, the saints, the church, to rule and reign. So when you see what he's talking about here and starting putting this together, it kind of, I never really necessarily thought about it just like that, but that's God's reality. That's the reality of what things are going to be. Being righteous, being right with him. Not that we are worthy of anything in and of ourselves, but because of him. And he's saying one day the church is going to rule over this entire world, and you're telling me that two brothers or two sisters or a brother and a sister cannot come to terms without going to a worldly court. That's what Paul's talking about. It should be to the place that people, you know, you would hope that maybe the two people could come together and talk and make amends that way, but you know, sometimes people aren't willing to do that. But it goes on to say here how to handle it, and I thought this is very interesting. It says, know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? We should have this down pat, how to live and dwell with one another. If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are the least esteemed in the church. I said, I thought that was interesting. You know, but you know, if somebody came to you and said, hey, I need you to judge this, are you saying I'm the least esteemed? I mean, you know, you think about how it would be, but I believe what it's talking about here is you've got people that's not going to play sides, people that are just going to be honest, not follow after a click or anything like that, that just say, hey, you just bring it before me, we'll work through this, we'll talk through it. And then I will give you what it says here. And I think that places a lot of responsibility on the brothers and sisters. But we do carry a lot of responsibility. We, every single one of us, should be able to work with one another. It's not just somebody else will handle that. It should be all encompassing with the church. And then he goes on again talking to Corinthians. It says, I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. Meaning the whole church, you don't have somebody that can mediate this in your entire church. And again, you remember who he's talking to, Corinthians. And they were just a carnal church. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers, that's just a bad testimony, taking that and airing that out in a court. I don't know if any of you have ever really been to court before, but it's pretty much wide open once you get in there. It's kind of similar to this. Whoever shows up that day, unless they have the court closed for some reason, it's pretty much, it's open. People and the public can come in. And I've been in court when I was an officer for different things and saw all kinds of mess go on. It was, I think it was Tuesday, it was called Kick, Scratch, and Fight Day. And that was civil suits. It was divorces and civil suits and all this. And man, people were mad. I mean, it was just, and then if you knew people that was there, sometimes it's kind of embarrassing to be there, just to be honest with you. So, I mean, airing these things out, but that's what he's talking about. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before unbelievers. Now, therefore, there's utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and you defraud, and that your brother. And it's talking about, I believe, here not being willing to forbear one another. And things happen in life that are hard, and we know that. It's not to minimalize things and take a lot of things, but you know, you really start thinking about what really matters in life. Is that your relationship with your brothers and sisters, and then the testimony that leads behind in the community and the people around about you. Does anybody have anything they'd like to say on this part before we go on to the next? Right. Oh, yeah. That's right. Right. Amen. Amen. I agree. I've heard it said many times, too, life's too short to, you know, hold grudges and carry things like that. And I believe that. I mean, I do. I believe that. All right, let's go to look at a few different things here. Let's go to Genesis 14:20. We'll switch topics. We'll talk about giving. Anybody want to talk about giving tonight? Amen. More blessed to give than to receive. I'll kind of give a little bit of testimony while you're turning there. I remember when I surrendered to preach and working through that and navigating through that, that was probably one of the most sensitive times in my life, just to be honest with you. And I remember the first night that I preached, it was a Sunday night. I remember that. And I remember Brother Wynn saying, we'll put the plate back there at the back, and if you want to give something, and that bothered me. I was like, no. I mean, this is not for money, you know. It's not like that. Yeah, but he said that's one of the things. I remember him saying, too, that's something that he's going to have to learn, that you have to learn, you know, people, you know, giving you things or what have you, and in the right spirit. But on the flip side of that, too, I remember what it was like when I lost my job. That was, the entire thing was a very sensitive time. It was a very humbling time, and it wasn't anything that anybody could just, you know, fix. It was something that we had to go through and just kind of endure part of it and learn through it. And people, you know, would be nice and try to help you out, give you some money or something. That's a humbling, very, very humbling thing. You know, you might think that, oh, wow, you know, people's giving this fellow money, this person money or what have you. But there's a humbling effect that takes place if you've never been in that situation before. It's very humbling. It's just, I wouldn't necessarily say humiliating, but maybe for some people, but it's very humbling. But one thing, and Brandy will tell you, because she said it, she probably even said it before I did. She said, if we ever get to the place that we can help somebody else, I want to do it. I guess you don't forget how you feel necessarily, and you shouldn't. If you've ever been down on your luck, so to speak, that way, and kind of trying to figure things out, I mean, I'd always had a job, always had a way of income, and when that happened, it was a lot of what do we do now? I mean, it was a different thing, and I remember Brother Larry Greer talking about Sister Evelyn, but I remember him here in the church. He just walked up to me one time and just went to shake my hand, and he had a $100 bill in his hand, and he passed it in my hand, and he just looked at me, If you know Brother Larry, you'd know that was him. Never said a word, but it's just amazing, people being there to help you. But it is more blessed to give than receive. When you can do something for somebody else that can't do for themselves in that moment, that's an absolute blessing. I'm telling you, you don't do things to get back, but when you have more than what you need necessarily, but somebody else is lacking, that's exactly what this is talking about. It's not talking about giving everything you've got away necessarily that puts you out in the street. Then you become a hazard or you become a need. But when the Lord has blessed us so much, it's hard for us. It should be hard for us to not be able to see that. I'll start off by asking this. Has the Lord blessed you? Amen. Something I've been praying about too is missions, maybe having a missions conference and talking about faith promise missions. And I promise you, this is not a prosperity thing. I don't believe in that. People do things wrong and you publicize things in the wrong way and what have you. But I see in God's word how if you do things his way, he will absolutely take care of you. He honors his word, brother, and he does. And again, it's not like, hey, it's some kind of get-rich plan or anything like that. It's nothing like that. But I have found if you do things God's way, when you find yourself in need, it will be there. It will be there. And a lot of times it will come from probably one of the most unlikely sources. But that's exactly how God works, and that's how you know that it's him. He does things in such a way that he gets the glory and the honor for it. We believe, we'll start with this right here, giving. This is, again, the last one, I believe, in this section, and we'll be going on to the next section. It says, we believe that every Christian, as a steward of the portion of God's wealth entrusted to him, is obligated to support his local church financially. We believe that God has established the tithe as a basis for giving, but that every Christian should also give other offerings sacrificially and cheerfully to support of the church, the relief of the need, those in need, the spread of the gospel. We believe that a Christian relinquishes all rights to direct the use of the tithe or offering once the gift has been made. And then we have some different verses there. And on top of that, if you come to our business meetings, you see that we as a congregation, we vote. We vote on where we send monies and where things goes. It's not just a one-person decision, but it's a vote of the church. People put the monies in, but once it's given, it's God's money. That's the way it's supposed to be, given to him. In Genesis 14, the reason I wanted you to turn there and you start looking back, that's one of the first mentions, I guess, when you start thinking about tithe. And when you think of what tithe, I want you to think of a tenth, a 10%. I think most are common or familiar with tithing here and what have you. It's a tenth of all that the Lord has given you, is what the way the Bible teaches it. And it says here, and blessed the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. And you look at Melchizedek, the king that was there, and he's a very interesting person. I believe he's an Old Testament manifestation of the Lord. You see what happened with Abraham when they won this battle. They gave a tithe of tenth to him. He's a high priest. And then also they gave a tenth to him and to support him. And you see that that's the example that's been set out for us to do. A lot of people today will argue and say tithing was something for the Old Testament. Tithing is not for the New Testament. When you really start digging into what the New Testament says about giving, you're going to find out that you're probably supposed to give more than a tenth. You're supposed to give more. And that's to the work of the Lord. Again, this isn't about getting somebody rich or anything. It's about getting the monies, getting the support where it needs to be. We just took on a new missionary, and one of the things that was said in discussion and talking about that, we learned what it's like to have land beside of us that's for sale and the importance of acquiring that. And so that should help us to understand the need for other people wanting to build a church in other areas of the world. We are invested in that. We are stakeholders in what the Lord is doing all over the world when we start giving and doing those things. And so that's, you see that there, kind of laid out in Genesis 14:20. A lot of different verses that we could read. I just want to go through a few things here. Proverbs 3, verses 9 through 10. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And so when you look at what it's saying there, if you want to just be literal about what the Bible says and not split hairs, it says all thine increase. I'll challenge you tonight. Just try to out give God. If you want to take on a challenge, that's probably a good one. You can read in Malachi where it says, try me and see if I don't send out a blessing upon you. I'm paraphrasing that you can't contain. That's how the Lord works. When you start doing things, you got to understand, we see our economy. I've been told this: when you're doing things in business, sometimes don't spend out of your pocket. What you might think, man, I can't do that. That's ridiculous. Somebody else might not even bat an eye at that. You got to think where God sits and what he wants to accomplish. He will absolutely give through you what he does not give to you. And I've seen that happen, and I'm a believer in that. But what he's saying here too, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. I think one of the questions that comes up sometimes is, well, do I tithe off of my net or do I tithe off of my gross? I don't think it's going to hurt the Lord if you tithe off your gross. That's what I believe. That's the way how I've been taught, and the way the Holy Spirit has settled that in my heart. I have no problem with that. Again, if you think you can outgive God, just try that. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. God is saying, if you take care of his business, he's going to take care of you. And if there's one person that can follow through on that, that's the Lord himself. He's not going to leave his children high and dry. He's not going to do that. Let's look at Acts chapter number 4. I want to go there for just a second. I thought this is kind of interesting. Acts chapter number 4, verses 34 through 37. I find this very interesting here, because honestly, I've put a lot of thought into this. This is back when the church was getting started. We watched a show some time back on it was cults, and I can't remember if it was Waco or which one it was, but you actually had people, doctors and people that were wealthy. And they actually did this, but it wasn't in the name of the church. It was in the name of a cult. And obviously it wasn't biblically done, but this is what people were doing. They took all their finances, they took their retirement, they took the monies that they had, sold out what they had, and went and gave it to this fella. And of course, he misappropriated it and everything. But you think about the church starting out. And you think about the love that's behind it, and you'll see some common phrases here, though, too. So Acts chapter number 4, verse 32, we'll just start right there. They're talking about the provision. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart. You're going to see this here. And of one soul, they were unified. They cared about each other more than things, more than stuff. They cared about each other. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. They wanted to make sure everybody was taken care of. I tell you this, you have to, when you're coming off the hills, what we're talking about suing one another, what have you, this is the absolute opposite of that. This is people loving each other to the point, it's like, I don't want you to be out anything. And if I have more, let's equalize this. And that's what they're talking about here. Verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and the great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. So every single one of them had enough. For as many were possessors of lands or houses, sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Now you imagine doing something like that today. How many people would sign up for that? I think today, honestly, not living in those times and seeing the hardships and the way things were then, the foundation when the churches we're first being started and what have you. I think things are more established today, but it shows the importance and the heart behind giving and taking care of one another. And they laid it down at the apostles' feet. They're putting a lot of confidence in the people that they were listening to, the men that they were following and listening to. And distribution was made unto every man according to as he had need. What do you need? What do you need? And Joseph, who was the apostles, that was surnamed Barnabas, which was being interpreted, the son of Consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And so even apostles, other people, were taking part in doing this. That's something to think about when you read that. The one heart and the one soul that was behind it. You look at 1 Corinthians 16:2, and again, this is all New Testament. Paul teaching here, he's talking about upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And he's talking about systematic giving. And what I believe in that, and again, you know, if we, Lord willing, get to have a missions conference and talk about it further, it's a plan. You have a plan in mind of what you're going to do. I remember as a kid sometimes, and it wasn't right of me, but I remember as a kid sometimes going to church, not being prepared, thinking about what the Lord had given me that week, but what I had left over in my pocket and putting that in the plate. And it was like, well, I gave something. You couldn't take anything away from that, but it wasn't because it was purposed in my heart. It was because it just happened to be there. That's not how the Lord wants us to live. That's not how he wants us to be. He wants us to make sure that our hearts are right and following after him. And I thought about this today. If he doesn't have your finances, he doesn't have your heart. And I can stand behind that. I can stand behind that. If you can't trust the Lord with your money, then how can you trust him at all? I mean, how can you really say, I trust him? I trust him with my soul, but I'm not going to trust him with my wallet. That just doesn't wash out. It doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. It's not how he wants us to be. And upon the first day, you see a systematic giving. Let every one of you lay by the side, him in store as God, it's messed up here, as God hath prospered him. And so you see, think about how God has prospered you. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7, it says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Again, 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he prospereth or purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I think one of the best things that ever happened, I'm just being honest, in trying to get things situated, again, grow up in church, but sadly wasn't always following what the Lord would have me to do. And I remember a time I talked to Brother Wynn about it. I said, well, how do I rectify this? What do I do? He said, repent and tithe. Just do it. You know, you kind of start figuring out things. You start doing your bills like, well, how can I work this tithe in with my budget? How can I work this in? By the time you get to that place, your finances are not where they're supposed to be. If tithing is an afterthought, your finances are not where they're supposed to be. And that's not coming from me. That's coming from the Word of God. Mike can tell you more about money. We had a class on that better than I can. But I tell you, if you have to try to figure out a way to budget that back in, you're on the wrong side of things. And I'm talking from personal experience. It was interesting to take things serious and start really trying to follow after the Lord and what the Bible says. It was amazing what had to go and what was not needed versus what the Lord and his provision would have for you. But again, if you want to be on the right side of things, I mean, do things God's way. I know that sounds simple, but it's absolutely the truth. Galatians 6:6, and this is talking about taking care of those in the church, or maybe the pastors, kind of how this is talking. It's, you know, maybe awkward as the preacher talking about this, but it's in the Bible. But Galatians 6:6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And you look at the word communicate, that means to impart, to give. to another as a partaker to confer for the joint possession. Again, it's kind of where it talks about. I don't have these verses here. It's not directly talking about just the pastorship and what have you, but the ox treadeth out the corn. You don't muzzle him. You take care. He gets to take care of, be taken care of out of his work, and that's the same that is being talked about with the pastor here. Ephesians 4:28, it says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." It's talking about being a responsible person, not just looking out for yourself or just trying to get things for yourself, but you work and you take care of your business, and then you're blessed and you're able to take care of and help other people. Pretty straightforward teaching out of the Word of God. 1 Timothy 5:17-18 says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." Again, talking about taking care of pastors and positions, what have you, in the church is what it's being referred to there. And I'm going to close with this and open up for maybe some comment or discussion. But 1 John, this is something I want to leave you with. You really think about this. 1 John 3:17. You see the word compassion in different places. I know Jude talks about it also, and something to really consider. Taking care of other people or having compassion on somebody else. That's what Jesus had on us. But it says here, "But whoso hath this world's good," it's asking a question, who has the things that they need, the goods of this world, maybe the money or food or different items that we all need and share in need of, "and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" That's as plain and as simple as it can be. If you have something and you look at somebody and say, "Man, they could use this, and I have this," and not talk yourself out of helping that person. Sometimes I think it's like this. Some people say, "Well, and some people do put themselves in bad situations. They do. And do things that they shouldn't do and things like that." But you think about somebody that needs some help and you have it, and you say, "Well, they shouldn't have done what they did," and you don't give it to them. You don't help them. I mean, if that's the standard, if that's the way that we want to live life, then Jesus should have never came to this earth and died for us, because we weren't deserving of it, not worthy of it. But I believe here, I think it pretty well, I'm not doing a whole lot of extra talking about it, I know, but it's pretty straightforward in what it's saying. But I believe that we should help people the way the Bible prescribes it, and do exactly what the Word of God says there, because that's the way we're supposed to be. Take care of each other and love one another. Anybody have anything they'd like to say along those lines? We'll keep moving right along through our study here tonight. And I wonder if there's any objects of prayer, anything.